see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
Radio at its best.
And now back to Satchmo.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. Much more than I ever knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
From the Arts Center in Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, folks, and thank you for tuning us in. Let me turn my mic up. Here we go.
There we go,
Claudio. We got to make this puddle jumper work. Today is a very special show. I'm afraid the winds are tipping my sails in some different directions, and I'm going to be closing the speakeasy. So today is the goodbye, so long, farewell, amen version of Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. The one thing I am going to miss is hanging out here with Rocco, but I'm going to surprise him by dropping in on his show once in a while. So today is just going to be music and talking a little bit about what the speakeasy has been and how much I've enjoyed doing this program for all of you and with all the folks here on WCOM, including the wonderful support, ongoing loyal support of the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham throughout my eight-year tenure here, which is, it's amazing that 8 years have gone by already.
It's been an incredible run, Claudio, really. When you look back at it, when I look back at it, I see all the wonderful guests that you had on.
Some amazing folks have been on.
Amazing people, talented people.
Yes.
A huge variety of people from our area and outside the area. The phone calls from all over the country that you've had artists, entertainers call in on your show and you put them on the air. And it's just been an amazing show, Claudio. Really, it has.
There have been many times I walked out of the studio and felt really good about the show. Now, there were where the puddle jumper didn't quite make the puddle, but
you always have that in radio,
yeah.
And we've had such a good time doing the show. We did. I can remember when you first started in the old original studio,
the one that still had the outhouse. Yes,
and you know that was the first WCOM studio put together by Ruff and Slater and Jacques Renache, and that was a great place to do a radio show.
And a special shout out to those guys for making this whole thing possible.
That's right. And of course, Jacques started the Art Center.
Yeah. Right.
Had him on as a guest, I guess, about 6, 7 months ago.
And it was a fantastic show. Got great comment and feedback on that. And what a great revelation. I don't think Jacques has ever revealed that much about himself on any show I've heard.
I've never heard him reveal what he revealed on that show.
It was a great show.
It was a terrific show. And then we moved to the second studio of WCOM,
yes,
which is within our site here, except now there's a 4 or 5 story building that's a huge building for Carrboro.
That's when I had the lovely Audrey Layden step in as my co-host for a while.
and Audrey stepped in for two or three years,
yeah.
And you had terrific shows with fantastic guests in that studio.
Oh, it's never been boring, that's for sure.
Never. And then I guess we were two or three years there, and then we came here, and we've been in this location as actually a part of the Arts Center for 4 years now, I think.
And that's gone through a few changes, but I'd have to say we've definitely brought the studio up to a whole new level.
Absolutely. It's just been a great run.
It has. And I'm not really going to be a stranger. I'm just going to drop in on other people's shows instead of having my own.
And as you know, a lot of our listeners don't realize that WCOM is a family.
That's right.
And there's 15 or 20 of us here that have been part of it for quite a while. And it is community radio for Carrboro and Chapel Hill. But also now we have an outside world online that can tune us in a number of ways.
Absolutely.
Beside just the website.
And we can't make it without that public support.
That's right.
Got to have that money to grease the wheels.
I remember that first show you did where you had Curtis Ingram.
Curtis Ingram, who owns the American Music Museum in Thomasville.
Curtis is a big guy, and he has this terrific bass voice.
Yes, he does, boy.
And I was driving by the studio, and I heard you on. I'd never met you.
This was actually the first time, right?
This was the first time. And then I heard Curtis on the air, and he sounded so good. And I'm saying to myself, who in the world did Bob or Jacques or Ruffin go to get these guys to come in here and put them on the air? And they sounded so good. And then I came in and introduced myself, and from there we became friends.
And I remember you kind of lit up the room by looking at both Curtis and me, and our egos were pretty pumped already. And you said, guys, this is great radio.
You sound terrific. And, you know, I always get excited when I hear somebody really great on the air here at this station.
Absolutely.
Because it elevates all of us. And you fellas that morning just sounded like you could.
And we were playing some great rock and roll to boot, and he knew everyone that was playing.
Curtis knows all the old rock and rollers. And
when Jimmy Buffett performs here in Charlotte, he hangs out with Curtis.
With
you know?
Curtis. And then I believe it was maybe two or three years ago here in this studio when I came on board again with you.
Yes, Audrey was building a house, and I switched. I was looking for another co-host, and you surfaced,
And Curtis called in from South Carolina.
Yeah, he couldn't make it. I didn't realize he was going to be that far away,
And it was a good show when he had a phone call
by telephone,
show with him. Just so many great memories, Claudio.
That bass in his voice deletes up the phone lines, man.
I know.
He's doing great. We're frequently in touch on Facebook.
And so many moments.
I'm actually thinking about, this has been sort of at the request of friends, thinking about doing a five-minute spot, a visual spot on Facebook, doing some kind of radio theater. I haven't exactly decided what it's going to be yet, but some kind of a very short thing that can be visual. I got to figure it out just yet.
I think of the number of musicians you've had, like Paul Messenger.
Yes.
We had a good show
with
Paul in the second studio.
Yes.
And Paul is a first-class, first-rate harmonica player, has played with many, many.
One of the best
famous
in the world, no
really.
Doubt. Absolutely.
Plays with Bella Fleck. And
right.
He just it was first class, and that was a good show we had.
A great show.
So many others.
And Paul and I ended up rehearsing a little bit afterwards at his place because we were going to do, and I'm still hoping to do this at some point, we're going to do a show together with him on harmonica.
The Tim Staumbach show was
a
great
show. Yeah, it
was
wonderful, yes.
Tim was singing in the studio, again in the second studio.
And you can still go back and find all these podcasts because from what I'm being told by Ernie Hood and Art, the new president, that they're keeping my podcasts ad infinitum, so you can always go back and pull those up.
As I was saying earlier, Claudia, you cannot take the past 8 years and all these shows that you've done and put them in a small box and just pull them out and talk about this one or that one. There's just been too many of them.
That's true. Over that span.
From the dancers you had from Durham.
Yes.
And
now you have a great memory.
The Vietnam vets that came in from Durham. That was a great show.
Yes, that was a good one.
Also, I'm thinking of the fella from the area where you live who's a folk singer. Bluegrass.
Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown.
Yes.
Great shows with Ronnie. And then the movie producer.
Rob Underhill.
Rob, you've had him on a number.
And Will Williams.
And Will.
who was actually being primed to be co-host for a while, but then I think winds pulled him in other directions.
Well, you know, to work at WCOM and have someone make that commitment to do the show regularly every week, it's hard to find people that can stick with it.
And it's a lot. It's a lot to ask of anyone.
It is. And people don't realize that. And for someone like Will, a young fella, 30, whatever, to make that commitment to come in here every Tuesday with you, it was
I thought it was too much. Brave of him to do it for as long as he did. Now he's back into the movie scene pretty strong.
Well, I hope he works out well with the movies.
That friendship, you realize that friendship happened started on film. I was playing Hemingway to his character in Rob Underhill's film No Child, and we literally became friends on set.
How about that musician who did the score for the movie, and you had him in here,
David.
And he brought his work.
Absolutely.
And I believe he's eventually going to wind up in Hollywood.
Oh, his soundtracks
producing
are amazing.
Music for the big budget movies.
His soundtracks
he's so talented.
Are really that good. They really are. I can't remember his surname now, but I know David, the guy that did the soundtrack for Rob Underhill movies. That's how you can find him.
It was a great
amazingly
show.
Amazingly talented. Yes.
And we've had such a good time, as I said, and played some great music on your show.
Thanks to you. You came in here as the music expert, and 9 times out of 10, I just went with whatever you had. It was great.
Well, I have some music for today, as you know. Always have the music.
What I'd like to do is begin with a little moment of radio theater just to sort of ease out of this thing and begin with number 14 on my album, Master Storyteller.
Your voice in our community. This is WCOM, Carrboro, Chapel Hill.
And this piece coming up is What It's Like to Hang Out on a Sailboat.
Once again, a chill night wind blows its gales across the sea. As the sunset casts an inflamed and rippled hue across the waters. Vast distances of liquid motion stretch their infinity before me, and I have rarely felt so free. The sails are drawn for a night of rest. Where I go from here, the sea knows best. As the veils of night descend upon me, the moon emits its silvery canvas against a spectacle of aquatic celebration, as is only seen by night. The stars are scattered worlds of light against an opaque sky, and the nightfall is a constant whisper of the mysteries around me. Truly, all description would defy the beauty I choose herein to proclaim. Yet still, though encompassed by more wonder than many a man has e'er freed his soul to admire, my thoughts are adrift with the song of my heart. And the song of my heart with the voice of my soul. Adrift. 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 Drifting ever back to you.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103.FM WCOMLP Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our station. We'll be right back.
Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. In the background, Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, something called Rise. I'd like to tell you that your host Claudio is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com. Also, you need to look to his homepage for his YouTube channel link. Now back to Claudio.
Hey, we just had somebody drop in the studio. Good morning, kid.
Hey, you knew I wasn't going to let you slip out of here without stopping by.
I figured you'd jump into the goodbye parade at some point. Rocco and I have just basically been talking about old times. Before we go any further on that, I want you to sort of reveal that little mystery we talked about yesterday that I've somehow landed on by joining that whatever it was called, nature preserve thing on Facebook, and what just kind of strangely happened.
You went viral.
going viral,
right.
Yeah.
So you went in and you posted a response to something on Facebook.
It was about Save the Orangutan, and I made a strong statement to go with that, and a lot of people hinged onto that statement, and I've got close to 800 likes. And I'm wondering how to make this thing go away. And from what you were telling me, you can't make it go away.
Once it's on the internet, it takes on a life of its own. It is like a virus. You can't really kill it.
So I need to tell that nature preserve to put me on the payroll.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just,
no, it's wonderful, actually.
It's your post is saying at the top, because everybody, you triggered something emotional, or I say there's several things that go viral on the internet.
I hit the right note.
Right.
With what I said.
Mention God, which you did.
Yes.
People are passionate about the environment and the economy.
And that's all in there, too. Yes.
Saving animals.
Right.
Other things that go viral are political things, which this kind of hits that, too, because people have different political views on conservation.
I made about 4 or 5 statements, and they've all stayed at the top.
Because people reacted. You hit that note, that emotional note.
It was kind of scary when it wouldn't go away, and the numbers kept increasing. I mean, it's averaging 100 a day now.
Right, and that's what people want to happen. So now you just have to replicate that with your performances on YouTube,
yeah, right,
and your Facebook. And I mean, that's how things get marketed. Most people want
sort of like becoming a.
Yeah,
they've chosen you what you said as being representative of how they feel.
The public has, or it's you're a lightning bolt. You know, a lightning rod for everybody that feels the opposite. And I saying, the internet controversy on either side can be a good thing.
Oh, there have been some interesting comments, yeah.
And so then the repercussions and the challenges of managing that is what's there. But once it's out there, it's out there.
Okay, well, enough of that.
Unless you kill your page or you disappear from the internet entirely, it's still out there. They just can't find you.
Gotcha. I'm going to lean back in Rocco's direction. I like the way he's kind of taking the conversation today, but just reminiscing about the Speakeasy, and feel free to chip in.
Well, you know, Claudio, the Speakeasy is a show that can appeal to everyone.
That was the idea, yes.
That was the idea in the beginning. And when you came to WCOM, you kind of, you set a little fire under some people. And I noticed the shows changed after you came on board. And we had more of this radio theater type thing, more of the interview type.
That's true.
Speaking,
yeah.
Talking.
Now that you mention it, I can actually see some of that, yeah.
And in the early years, the first 2 or 3 years, the station was a different station than what it became. And it primarily was a lot of shows that were about music, very few interviewing.
And I seem to remember not just about music, but about the people that were playing that music. It was pretty ego-driven to a great extent as well.
It really was. We had Audrey and Paul come together and present book.
The literature, yes. That's
and they brought a number of famous authors in the area.
Yes.
Here to WCOM. Bill Hendrickson also started to bring in high-powered guests continuously.
Yes.
With his evening show, which was about the events of the time, whether it was sports or politics or the university or the town of Carver or Durham. And the station changed.
Yeah.
It really did.
And, of course,
did.
You brought in some pretty high-profile people as well that just happened into your show.
Well, my show, as you know, was always and still is about music.
Yeah.
And I've never tried to make the show about me. And I always try to let the music, I don't try, the music speaks for itself.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Like what we've just been hearing on this show.
Right, Herb Alpert.
You know, Herb Alpert, Rise, how are you going to go wrong? You can't.
No.
And I do that for 3 hours.
Yeah,
and I throw out that music that has been so popular in the last 70 years that it's hard to just say I don't like that.
Right.
And Music Hall makes the music speak for itself.
No doubt. It's,
really
it's the closest thing since Casey Kasem.
So I have a question for you guys. What was your most memorable show?
Oh, God. It would be unfair to pick one, to tell you the truth. There were so many times I walked out of the studio thinking we hit all the notes today. Now, there were a few puddle jumpers that didn't make the puddle, but that's another story.
You know, every show is different. And sometimes if you have one mistake at the beginning or in the middle of the show, it can change the course of the whole show. And sometimes the mistake is not your fault.
Sometimes it can just be something technical that just throws you off your game.
Oh, we never have technical issues.
Right.
We're perfect when it comes to the technology.
I always tell people that listen to Music Hall, if you ever hear a weak song, ever, you know, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it may be something that you don't realize why you heard that. And we have, the equipment's been working pretty well in the last few months.
Yeah.
But sometimes if you want to play cut 4 on the CD, it will jump to cut 8.
I remember that one time. Remember I was trying to do that narration, and I planned it for a particular piece of music, and it was too late to change it, so I had to do that narration to music that didn't go with it.
I remember that day. Well, and it's kind of like getting the B-side of the old 45s and things like that. You load something on the, and you didn't realize you loaded the opposite side.
Yeah. Or the computer just jumps around on you. That's what happened to Rocco.
Oh, there's been any number of things that have happened while you've been on the air, and Lee, while you've been on the air, and of course, myself on the air.
Absolutely.
And you try to go with the flow, but like you said, it can get you off of your pace or one of those kind of things. Or when your guest doesn't show up until 20 minutes after you started the show.
That's true, yeah. Ghost in the machine moments is what I call them.
I always liken it to a flat tire as you're going down the road.
Now what?
And you have to deal with it.
Absolutely.
Now we have to act like we're one of those tires that we go flat, but we can go 50 miles anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's dark. You don't know the hood. Keep going.
Doesn't matter if you're driving on the rim. You got to keep going.
That's it.
You know, another thing, Lee and Claudia, we've had so many great support people here that have really kept this station going, like Jacques Minaj.
Absolutely.
Ruff and Slater, Bob Burtman, Ernie Hood, Audrey Layden, Dave Bellin, who's here right now.
Bill McClymont.
He was?
Bill McClymont. Who have and Art
a special shout out to Bill on my behalf because he rescued me a few times.
And Chris Frank, our first station manager. Those people, and there are others. I hate to leave anybody out. But Chris Frank, Jacques Ruffin, Bill McClymont, Dave Bellin, Art Minius. Who else did I say?
Because it's a volunteer station. It's a community station. We're not paying anybody to be here.
No. Leo Reynolds.
Oh, absolutely.
Another one. Leo was basically running this station as the chairman of the board and the chief engineer for 5 or 6 years. A thankless job. And now his wife had a show for 6 or 7 or 8 years, maybe more. I think 9 years.
Could be.
She was on the air with DeLovely. Actually, it used to be called a different name. I can't recall
it. It's amazing how time flies when you slip into this WCOM twilight zone.
Well, when I first
time is something that we don't actually measure until after we've looked back. Right?
That's true.
When I first came on board, which was before the station ever went on the air.
I know, that's amazing.
I thought I was going to be involved for maybe a year or two. And now it's over 12 years.
Hmm.
The station can grab you that way. And I've worked at 10 to 12 radio and television stations in my life and have never come close to working as long at any of those stations as I have here at this one.
I know it's hard for me to believe I'm in the third year of Focus on Business. So it's, you know, and it's not what I thought it would be when I started out.
Going back to your original question, do you Do you remember any speakeasies that jumped out at you?
We've had some fun. The one we did with the honeybees.
That was
an interesting show, and we had the call-in guest and we had a few technical
called in from DC, yeah.
Right. And that it's the organics.
Yeah.
Of doing it and never knowing what a guest is going to say and what direction that's going to take the conversation.
And some people you have by phone and decide you're never going to have them on again.
Oop, technical difficulty.
There have been moments like that, yes. But let's go to another piece of music.
Piece of music. How about if we give a shout-out for Ernie Hood?
Okay.
Ernie Hood has a show and has had one for, I think he had his 10th anniversary or 9th.
Ernie Hood is actually the man that brought me here. He's been a longtime friend of mine.
Radio in Vivo.
He drugged me in the door, exactly. One of the best shows on this station.
Ernie has been the treasurer for the station for, I would say, 7 years. Ruffin Slater, mm-hmm. and Peg Nolan and Jacques Menache were pretty much running things in the beginning. And Chris Frank, who was our first station manager. And Chris was very, very influential and important in putting the station on the air at first, along with Bob Burtman. And Bob was with us for 10 years, and now he has his own station up in Hillsboro, WHUP.
Mm-hmm.
But Ernie became the treasurer after Ruffin let the treasury position go and let one of the COM people take it over. And he's had it ever since. Another thankless job, really. And Ernie went through all sorts of issues with the IRS, the tax status of the station.
Hmm.
And
I remember a lot of that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're hearing about that. And he did just a terrific job. He never let up on it. And he got us through that.
Again, it's that willingness to volunteer and give as much of your time as you have to keep it going.
And it's important for the listeners out there to know this about the station.
Well, I always play Ernie's promo on my show because I know how much he does for this.
Definitely.
Well,
play
his
it on
show
mine.
Plays, he does it live on Wednesdays, and then I think there's a replay on Mondays.
On Monday.
I was going to say, let's go to number 18 on my Master Storyteller CD and then go to one of your pieces of music.
Okay.
The world of science is endlessly fascinating. The world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio En Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LPFM.
Windsong. I've lived my life on foreign shores as a lover of the sea, drinking down my nevermores when they wouldn't set me free. I spent my years saluting winds which gave my sails direction, and ever was it plain to see my youth in my reflection. I greet my autumn season like a leaf upon the wind, who in having lived by love and reason will bear myself once more to journey. This body, though merely a shell, has truly lived and served me well. These eyes, though rugged by the years, have smiled their smiles and shed their tears. So all in all, I am rejoicing upon the sea alone, for in the winds a spirit voicing, a call to bring me home. I pray the prayer of every sinner and poets much alike, that my spirit clothes me a winner upon that final hour's strike. And as I journey from here to hence, where there is neither gate No offense. As an older man, I must concede. A wind song now is all I need. So all in all, I am rejoicing upon the sea alone. For in the winds a spirit voicing, a call to bring me home.
Tune to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
This is WCOM, the Triangle's premier innovative radio station. We broadcast something for everyone at 103.5 FM and online at WCOMFM.org. Now back to Claudio.
And you are listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre, brought to you up to now by the Historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, the primary underwriter sponsor of the show for a long time. But this is the goodbye, so long, farewell, amen edition of the show. I may be coming back at some point in the future, but the winds are tipping my sails in other directions presently, so we just decided to go ahead and make this the finale. And we're just trying to sort of remember all things speakeasy before I...
Well, you know,
my hat at the
you
end.
Know, Claudio and Lee, that ID that I just played, that has been the most played ID at this station for the last 12 years.
Bob Bertman?
Is Bob Bertman. Bob made that 12 years ago.
Amazing.
And he was the first person to go on the air ever at WCOM, and it was in August of whatever year it was. And
I'm amazed you remember that much.
We were not on the air live. He made a tape. And that tape ran until, I believe, November, either November or October. We have another guest coming in.
We have Art.
none other than Art Minius.
The president.
The present of chairman of the board of WCOM. Always good to see him. Art, how are you? Welcome to...
I'm doing well for getting up about 3 hours earlier than I normally
do. Oh, no.
Have you been listening to the show?
Once I got back in the car, I sure have. But I just wanted to come by and thank Claudio for all the contributions he's made to WCOM over the last 8 years, not the least of that being willing to drive an hour each way to be on the radio.
Well, I appreciate that coming from the president, sir.
Art, where do you think the station is going to possibly move to now that you're chairman of the board?
Well, I just want to get the functions harder. Like Bill Gift was in technology, mine's in grant writing and running meetings and making sure we do all the proper things as a 501c3 nonprofit with the goal to get us in better financial shape. I mean, we still have about $3,000 in cash reserve, but that's dwindled down from about three years ago.
That's not a lot of money. Yeah, we definitely need that public support.
We do, and as all of us know, we need the people of Carrboro and Chapel Hill to step up and do what they need to do to help support this station, period. And that's always been the case.
We know you love it because you've kept us on the air.
And that's probably our biggest challenge, really.
Absolutely, yes.
And, Art, I think you're doing a great job already. I saw Becky yesterday, and I was telling her that with just any number of things that you've already done to secure a lease with the Art Center for 4 years and finding engineers to keep this equipment up. I know Bill is going to come back if he has to, and it's been a challenge. It has, and I know you're going to do a good job with this.
Thanks, Rocco. It's always a challenge when it's an all-volunteer organization.
Yes.
We've held together for 11 years now, going on 12 this November. And it's a great thing to have a station that is the voice of the community that's about radio rather than having fun drives that last 2 weeks, five, six times a year.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Claudio has brought so many interesting people into this studio, whether it was at the original studio, the second studio, or now the Art Center studio.
Been part of all three. I know. It's amazing to think of.
Where did the 8 years go?
Whew.
I know. And Lee, who has just recently joined us, she's been with us 3 years, and she's made quite a contribution to the station.
And that seems like only yesterday.
Indeed it does.
Amen.
Lee, why don't you tell the listeners about your show and what exactly you do with it?
Well, Focus on Business, it airs Tuesdays at noon to 1, and we have guests, local businesses that we spotlight with their talent and what they're doing. We look at the economy locally, nationally. We look at legislation, politics, anything that's impacting business, because businesses are generally small businesses in the community, create the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Keep us funded, fund the radio stations, fund the people that fund the radio stations, and that's the lifeblood of our country, of the world, is
Absolutely.
How we do business. And I think sometimes we think corporate America is not made up of people, and it is, right? We own the businesses, we invest in those businesses, we buy from those businesses, and whether it's the mom and pop on the corner or you know, some big pharmaceutical, it's how we
interact. And we need to start looking and being choosy as to what we support by what we purchase.
Right. We vote with our dollars.
That's
what we're helping people understand.
Art, what do you think of this L.A. Bachelor, who now is going to be on ESPN from shows he's doing here?
Not bad.
It doesn't surprise me at all listening to his shows. There's a high degree, not just of professionalism, but he has guests who are happy to call in on the sports part from Miami and New York, far away just
that
to
is
be
amazing.
On L.A.
Yeah.
show here.
Really? And now he's going to be on ESPN, I believe, in New Hampshire?
Yeah, you're
in Tampa.
In Tampa.
And do we know what brought him to this area? Why is he doing it from here?
Do you know, Leah?
Okay.
So LA's been doing his show on Blog Talk Radio for about 6 years. And what he needed was the roots of a physical station to take it to the next level. And so he looked around and came to WCOM saying, hey, this is the type of format I can plug into.
So he was
resources.
Living in the area?
Oh, yeah. He lives in the area.
Gotcha.
And so he has a day job like most of us do. And then he's really passionate about this So he went on Blog Talk Radio, and then he needed to take it to the next step and chose WCOM to be his anchor station.
And he also is following Bill Hendrickson. So I've met him a number of times because I'll help Bill when I can. And he's only been with us, what, 2 months? 3 months at the
most? November, I think.
November. And you can see how if you can get the right connection, it can move.
And that'll bring about a whole different level of listenership as well.
Yeah. That's right.
Fantastic. Well, what other tunes are we going to play? I was going to say, let's go to one of my favorite pieces that I wrote while at sea is a piece that I'm quite known for because it's also the title of a stage production. It's called Seafarers. And I thought that would be a good one to sort of remember the speakeasy by. It's been played a few times since I've been on over the years, but good one for memory's sake.
Seafarers. The captain cried, "We're home at last," as the ship came close to shore. I swore I'd leave the ocean then and ride her waves no more. We drank of the first of a loaded round, of which we'd all be drinking more. The toasting of mugs was the only sound until a drunkard struck the floor. "We made it safe," the captain said, "to sail that savage sea. Now you go home and I'll explain of the two that died for me." The first mate staggered outward, then turned to say goodbye. The chef, he headed homeward as he belched his last reply. It was soon that the crew had left him. Before long, they'd all bade farewell. And so we drank, eh, the captain and I, for we'd still many a drunk tale to tell. I proposed a toast to Benjamin, for a mighty fine lad was he, who'd saved the heads of the captain and crew, then drowned in the savage sea. "So I propose to Arthur," said I, with a tear-eyed grin, "who never knew what struck him till the great white pulled him in." We soon drank down every promise that another sun would rise, and then slept upon the premise that I'd spare my last goodbyes. The day broke gray and sullen as I awakened on the deck. Today he would be sailing alone upon this wreck. I climbed down to his cabin through a galley ruined below to suggest he hire crewmen as he yawned and then said, "No. No," said he, "my friend, I'll not take the chance again of reaching troubled waters and losing a few good men." He said he hadn't slept well, for the night was moist and hot. I could tell his dreams were troubled, though he spoke as they were not. The captain felt it duty to sail another 1,000 miles to bring tidings of dead crewmen to their loved ones on the isles. I had sworn to leave the ocean, though somehow I felt refrain. For without a friend's devotion, I felt his journey would be in vain. Well, I soon replaced the mastmen who had lost their lives at sea. As I saw a weary captain look in disbelief at me, "I thought you were set to leave, lad. Could have sworn I'd seen you go," said I. "No, my friend, I'm staying for another wicked blow." Once we'd stocked with food and drink, we set her tattered sails for sea, and then we prayed she wouldn't sink and leave a faring memory. So I swore to leave the ocean and to ride her waves no more, though I'd taken such a notion o'er 100 times before.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater right here on WCOM, live and local in Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Now back to Claudio.
I do have to give a special shout-out to the guy that helped me launch it all early on, and that was John Paul McClellan. If you happen to be listening, bro, I really thank you for everything you did for those first couple of years that I was trying to make the speakeasy happen.
I believe you were with John Paul for 2 years.
I think that's about it.
It was about 2 years.
Then he switched over to his own show.
He had his own show for any number of years, and then I was helping you for on and off for about 6 months.
Yeah.
In the old studio.
And that was the one thing that stood out about you and me was that the chemistry was always perfect. It was just like, I didn't have to tell you anything, he didn't have to tell me anything. And that's a rare find on any stage.
And you had a number of people on in the old studio that we had a lot of fun doing.
Oh, yeah.
Show.
It's amazing some of the major talents that walked in the door.
And then Audrey stepped in, and
yes,
she was your co-host for 2 or 3 years.
She was just going to step in for a couple of weeks just to help me out. And next thing you know, we're having so much fun, 3 years go by.
And then I guess when Audrey started building her house, it got to be too much. And then I stepped in, and that was in the second studio.
So I've had the best of the best.
Well, you've had quite a run and a great show, Claudio.
And I'm not going to be a stranger to WCOM. Maybe at some point I'll knock on Art's door and say, hey, I'm ready to do something again. It's just right now seems a good time to disembark.
Well, I hope you do. You've done a great show for this station for 8 years.
Thank you.
You know, I can remember seeing Art, you, Claudio, David Price, Jacques, most of the COM regulars when this studio opened, and it was our 10th anniversary? What was that, Art?
This was the ribbon cutting for the new studio after...
That's right, that's
right.
We were here for that, yes.
And you were director of the Art Center, and we had quite a group out here of people from Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
Yeah, L.A. Kennard was here, Verla...
David Price, Ellie Kennard, the mayors. Remember that, Claudio?
Oh, yeah, I do. I came here for that myself.
Here. And that was how many years ago, Art?
That was in August or September of 2012.
I'm amazed how people can remember dates like that. Wow.
So that was 4 years ago. Incredible.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to have time for another piece of music because we got to let Say Yes to the Chef come walking in the door here in the next few minutes. So I am just going to say to all of my loyal listeners and friends out there, thank you so much for putting up with me for 8 years. This is goodbye, so long, farewell, amen, and until I see you again. If you want to keep in touch with me, just go to my website, claudioarts.com. Until next time, cheers.